So we're in the middle of the eyewitness, and we're in the Old Testament of this. Now, I'm going to review for a couple of minutes because I want to get into this tonight. You're going to really like this about Jacob. There's a reason why the Lord appears before men. In the New Testament, the whole early church was birthed out of three major components. The first component the Lord gave after his resurrection was the established the eyewitness among the apostles and everybody around the apostles, because their message was to bear witness of his resurrection. If you're going to witness something, you're going to have to witness it. That's the nature of witness. You have to be there. You have to see it. Now, you can testify and bear witness of your life and testify by faith. You know, but in reality, we're all walking in faith. When we tell somebody about the Lord, we know the Lord is real. We may never have seen him, but we know he's real. But you believe. Amen. But what we're talking about tonight, because the Bible says more blessed is he that believes without seeing. That is the truth when it comes to you and God and your relationship with him. But when it comes to testimony, in particular apostolic testimony to the world, and if you really meditate the book of Acts, you'll see the number one major theme and thread of their message was to bear testimony and eyewitness testimony of his resurrection. In fact, it says with great power gave the apostles witness. So, well, that's them. This is us. Yes, but God established the entire early church with it. 500 brethren saw him at one time. Say 500. Would you have liked to have been in that meeting? That was obviously a meeting. They were gathered together. 500 people were gathered in one place and the Lord appears to them. Man, I'd like to have been there. And he calls Apostle Paul outside of the order of the 12, and he gives him the exact same thing he gave the 12. So he begins with the eyewitness, and then while he's standing there in a resurrected state, this is just for review, while he's standing there in a resurrected state, he opens the books and he opens their understanding to the Old Testament that was bearing testimony of him. And so when Peter comes out, he begins to preach about the resurrection. He begins to preach about the right hand of God. And that was the major theme of the book of Acts, was the resurrection and right hand of God. So he gives them the eyewitness. He gives them the witness of the word from the prophets, from the book of Moses, Psalms, prophets. And then he says, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, because he also will testify of me. Now, he's the one that's going to bring the demonstration, what we're all looking for, apostolic demonstration. So he says, behold, you receive power. Now, get this. When you're moving into a new, fresh word from heaven, which is really not a new word. It's a word that was from the beginning. When you're preaching a fresh word, sometimes there's a renewing of the mind that has to take place. You have to hear it and understand why it's important. If you don't understand why it's important, you'll miss the whole thing. The whole thing is God lost the human race at the fall of Adam. He went to reclaim them with Christ through a covenant he made with Abraham that he was going to bring a seed into the world, which was Christ, and he was going to reclaim the world and create a brand new species of born again sons and daughters. But he was going to have to go into a world that was born in darkness, and he was going to preach to them and tell them there's only one way to me, the Father, even to the Jews, which you worship. There's only one way, and that's through the Son. And so because of that message, because of his resurrection, he gave them the eyewitness testimony so they could take that testimony to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Through eyewitness, we have seen him in his resurrection. It was just part of the testimony and the system of testimony God set up. It's the blueprint of apostolic government. Eyewitness testimony, the testimony of his word concerning the resurrection right hand of God and the Holy Ghost. That's what he was anointing. Behold, you shall receive power, say power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We all stop right there. How many got the Holy Ghost? You have the exact same thing. You ever wonder why you had the exact same thing they had in the book of Acts, but it's still not working for us the way it worked for them? Is that, you ever thought about that? Because of the second verse. You receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witnesses. That scripture was recorded right out of Luke 24. When he walks through the wall and he appears before them in a resurrected state. The Bible says in Acts 1, by many infallible proofs. So he's standing there and he says, listen, you're not seeing a ghost here. Touch my body. He goes, the spirit has not flesh and bone like you see me have, because he's in his glorified body. So he says, touch me. Touch me. He actually says, feel. He goes, put your fingers, touch me. Feel me. He showed them his imprints. So now that he did the sense realm, they touched and realized it's not a spirit standing before them. Why did he do that? He was establishing his testimony with them. You are seeing me, is what he's saying. Do you have anything to eat? He said, let's eat together. That's why he ate with them, by the way. To let them know you are seeing me in a resurrected state. I'm establishing your testimony. Then he says he opens their understanding to the Psalms, to the prophets, and to the book of Moses. So he shows them, all this is speaking of my resurrection. All this is speaking of my death, burial, and resurrection. We know that he opened Psalm 16 and 110, speaking directly of the right hand of God, because that's what Peter preached. Now, this is the important part. It's what I want you to hear. Standing in front of him in a resurrected state, for just for a moment, I'll be the Lord, just for a moment, in a resurrected state. All right? These are the apostles. We're in the room. You've already touched me. We've eaten together. Now he says, wait for my promise of the Holy Spirit. Don't go to the world without him. Wait for him. And you are going to be my witnesses. That is what happened in Luke 24. The way Luke recorded in Acts 1, he says, behold, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witnesses. He was standing in front of them when he told them that. His witness of the resurrection, that is a major component of apostolic government. Say major. When those three come together, Holy Ghost, the witness, word of the resurrection, right hand of God, and the eyewitness testimony, when those three come together, you're going to see power. How do you know? With great power gave he the apostles witness of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them all. The only time great grace was ever mentioned, great grace, was in alignment with witness of the resurrection. So, with all that said, we're into the Old Testament eyewitness. God has been appearing to man from Genesis to Revelation. And there is a purpose. Now, the reason why, we've already talked about Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob tonight, the reason why he's appearing to the patriarchs, because they were carrying the covenant. They were the fathers of the original covenant to Abraham. He said, my covenant is I'm going to bring a seed. And I'm going to multiply your seed as the nations of the earth. And there's going to be one that's going to possess the gate of his enemy, which is Christ. He says, the Redeemer's coming to your seed. So God appears before them to establish that. So let's watch this. And Jacob, he does it again. The same thing he did with Abraham, Isaac, he's going to do with Jacob. And it's amazing, because after he appears before them and establishes that promise, and I would state the blessing of the Lord, just pow! It came upon Isaac, came on Abraham. Now we're going to see it come upon Jacob. All right? Picked this up in Genesis 28. This is after Jacob, by the way, those of you know, his name means supplanter. He was quite a devious one. And he stole the birthright of Esau. All you know about that. Not only did that, him and his mother, they got together to steal the blessing. In them days, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessed the firstborn, the blessing came upon you. And the mom knew that. And she got in there and said, listen, your brother's out there hunting for venison right now. He goes, well, you're going to get it. Mama liked him. Daddy liked Esau. And he goes, look, I'm not a hairy man. He goes, that's all right. We're going to put some hair of the goat. We're going to put it on you. We're going to make you a hairy man. In fact, Jay said, what is this? You sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. You smell like Esau, because they put the coat of the skins on him. Got in there and he got that blessing. And Esau found out about it. And he was hot about it. And Mama knew that Esau could kill his brother over that, because Esau was very upset. So she sent Jacob away. The Padanaram, he sent him away, and that's where we're going to pick this up. On his way, the Lord appears to him for the first time. Hallelujah. That's where we're going to pick it up. Chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He's on his way. He's actually fleeing from his brother. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was setting. He took of the stones of that place and put them as for pillows, and lay down in the place of sleep. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. So he found himself in the midst of an open heaven with angels ascending and descending. God was signifying, I am establishing heaven with your lineage. You have an open heaven with me, Jacob. Then he speaks to me, standing at the top. He speaks to him. He sees them. I mean, it's a reality in this dream. He's in a dream. He sees the Lord. The Lord speaks to him, because Jacob gives a testimony twice that God appeared to me. And Jacob dreamed the ladder, and behold, verse 13, the Lord stood above it. Who stood above it? I don't know what kind of bodily presence he was in, but he was in one with Abraham. He's with there with Isaac. Now he's with Jacob. He's about to establish his promise again to Jacob. It's very important what he says to him in the eyewitness state, because that's what Jacob is bearing testimony to. When God appears, it's the purpose of testimony. He said, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee I will give it into thy seed. That was the two promises to Abraham. One was for the land. The second one was for his seed. And that seed was the natural seed and the spiritual seed, and particularly the seed of Christ. Now watch this. This is going to talk about this, verse 14. This is the important part of why he appeared to him. See, when God appears, he's going to bring a revelation. You carry a revelation of his word and the appearance. Those two become a testimony. Verse 14, that's what the Holy Ghost anoints. Everyone's got their theory of how revival is going to come. If we'll just fast more, pray more, be more holy, repent more. We've had about 50 repentance sessions in the city of Houston that I can think of in my tenure here. And I do believe in repentance. I repent often myself. Well, what do you repent of, Pastor? I repent of what I repent of. You repent of what you repent of. Amen? But wouldn't it be nice if we just found out what made it for the early church? Hey, none of these people deserved the appearance of the Lord, especially Jacob. He was a supplanter. He stole his brother's blessing and his birthright. Both of them. Stole it. By deceit. But he had a covenant. Because of Abraham, God was establishing that covenant, and he was there to appear before Jacob to establish that covenant. And here's what he says. Verse 40, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said that to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. Now he's appearing before Jacob and saying the exact same thing. In thy seed. Speaking, because Galatians 3 tells us he's speaking of seed singular. He saith not the seed is of many, but seed is of one, which is Christ. I am speaking to your loins, Jacob. I have come to confirm that I am the one coming through your loins. You're looking at him. The seed that's going to come out of your loins. In thy seed, all the families of the earth be blessed. You are part of that promise. You got in on that. I got in on it. And it's still multiplying to this day. Every time someone gets born again through the seed of Christ, God is still fulfilling his original promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to multiply your seed in thy seed, all the families, because Christ inherited all that blessing. And now he's being multiplied in the nations of the earth. So the Lord appears before Jacob. He appears to him as Lord. As God. And tells him this. Isn't that awesome? And the purpose of it was to establish that promise again. And behold, I am with thee. Now this time he says, I will keep thee in all places where you goest. I will bring thee again this land. I will not leave thee. Verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. He was afraid. Now, dreadful is this place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. He was sitting in an open heaven. Even if it was a dream, he was there. How do you know? Because, if you want to run over Genesis 48 real fast, he is rehearsing this particular appearance in Genesis 48 verse 3. And this is what Jacob says about it. Hallelujah. And Jacob, Genesis 48 verse 3, said unto Joseph, and he's talking about what we just looked at. Watch what he says about it. Genesis 48 verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, right where he was at. And he blessed me and said, behold, I'll make thee fruitful and multiply thee and make of thee multitude of people. And I'll give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. God is making appearances in the Old Testament and making them in the New. And it was the purpose of testimony. Now, we're going to look at Moses soon, because Moses was really awesome, because God added a level of demonstration with Moses that not very many Old Testament saints had. But what he did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when the Holy Ghost shows up, see, when God makes his appearance with them, he was making appearance with promise to us. We are bearing witness of the resurrection. It's already fulfilled promise. Now, what he did with them, the Holy Ghost is going to show up to confirm what that appearance was about, what that word was about. And he did it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was one thing, the way he showed up was with blessing. He blessed them so greatly that all the nations around them knew the blessing of God was with them. That king Abimelech knew the blessing was upon Isaac. He was so blessed he kicked him out. And he became greater blessed. And then he had to go back and humble himself after he kicked him out of the city. Look, God's with you. I need what you got. All that was confirming what they were carrying, see. They were carrying something being established by promise and established by covenant, but established by eyewitness testimony. These men were being appeared to before God. This was one of three visitations. You know, a lot of times God would visit them and talk with them. But these, he had three separate appearances. He's on his way. Now, you know the story. He gets to where Laban's at. And the first thing he cites is Laban's daughter, Rachel. He liked Rachel a lot. So much so that he decided he would work 7 years for her. Laban was a businessman and a very shrewd businessman. He found out that Jacob liked his daughter. I'm going to make some money off of you. He said, I'll gladly give her to you, your family. Just work 7 years for her. 7 years. 7 years. Jacob invested. Now remember, Jacob was a supplanter. So he's about to reap what he sows. Because Laban had another daughter, Leah. But she wasn't as fair to look upon as Rachel. But Laban, at midnight after the wedding night, he sent Leah into the tent. And Jacob didn't know it till the morning. Says, "Who are you? What happened?" Laban said, "Well, you know, I have two daughters. If you'll give me another 7 years, I'll give you the one you want." And he did. He finally got the one he wanted, 14 years. So after 14 years, Laban realizes he's getting blessed because the blessing is upon Jacob and his cattle is beginning to multiply. He don't want him to leave. The blessing of God come upon Jacob after that visitation, and he said that. That blessing come on. See, he's going to establish that. So what happens? He cuts a deal with him. Laban says, "Work for me some more." So he said, "All right." He's going to give him 6 more years. He said, "Here's what's going to happen." Jacob knew it. Laban knew it. Laban was getting blessed, and he knew that wasn't his blessing. He knew it was on Jacob. But Jacob never tended all of Laban's flocks. This is where it gets interesting, because God gives Jacob witty inventions with the agriculture industry. So Jacob says, "All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's go into the flocks. Anything's got spots, streaks, speckles, take them out. Separate them 3 days from one another. Just give the very pure breed, white sheep, brown cattle, solid, solid, solid." He says, "And I'll tend to the solid ones for you, Laban." Solid cattle produce solid cattle. White sheep produce white sheep, right? So Jacob tells Laban, "I'll tell you what, we got purebreds, all the speckled and spotted and streaked, you've separated 3 days, I'm going to take care of the pure. Now whatever comes out of this herd that's spotted, speckled, or streaked, it's mine." Laban goes, "You got it. There's not going to be any commingling, everything's pure now. He's got white sheep, brown cattle, no spotted, no speckled, they're all going to produce after their kind." So Jacob said, I'll serve you, but I get whatever comes out spotted, speckled, or streaked." Laban goes, "Cool." See, that's what happens with the blessing of God. You don't have to fight for it. That's what Abraham and Lot, Abraham looked at Lot and said, "Take whatever you want. Take the best, I'll take whatever you don't want." I mean, they're top of the mountain. They said, "Whatever you want, I'll be over here, you be over there." And so Lot takes the best land, Abraham gets over there. But see, the blessing of God comes with you to turn a wilderness into an oasis. Amen? So now the blessing, he's about to establish this lineage. So what Jacob does is he takes all these cattle at the water trough, he peels hazelnut trees back, and something got into their DNA while they're conceiving. He puts all these streaked limbs and things and speckled limbs and streaked limbs, and while they're looking at it and they're conceiving, the cattle all comes out streaked. And the sheep come out spotted and brown. And then he takes all them and separates them, and he puts them, and he says, all them looking at them. They said, "Now look at the new flock. Whatever they were looking at, what they were conceiving, that's what they were becoming." And God transferred the wealth of Laban all the way to Jacob. Hallelujah. The blessing of God came upon him. The Bible says he became mighty in the land because of witty invention. Oh, hallelujah. Now it's time for Jacob to leave, and Laban doesn't want him to leave. And when he leaves, he said, "Listen, I want you to see this verse. I want you to turn there. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 31, verse 7. And I'll tell you what happened here. The blessing of God was so powerful upon Jacob, Laban changed his wages 10 times. Does any of you have a difficult employer? You do not have to raise your hand. I had one change my wages 7 times when the blessing of God come upon me. it was in sales, but the blessing of God came upon me. And there was other salesmen. Finally, he come in there and said, look, I'll change your wages, but I have a problem with you. That's what he told me. I said, what's the problem? He says, I pay you too much. I said, I am fully commissioned. I make money, you make money. He said, that's not the way I see it. He says, I see you worth, back then that was 15 years, he said, you're worth to me $40,000 max a year. And I'm almost doubling that. He goes, I cannot accept paying you $75,000. He goes, here's the problem though. If I take your commission away and reduce it, because I've already done that, I have to reduce everybody else's commission and they'll leave. He said, so my solution to this problem is I'm going to fire you today. I said, you're going to fire me? He says, yes, I'm going to fire you. Laban did that to Jacob 10 times. And God kept blessing him. Watch what he says here. Genesis 31, verse 7. And your father has deceived me and changed, speaking of Laban, my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And said, if the speckle be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. He said, if the ring strake be their hire, then all the cattle would be ring strake. And God had taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. There is a wealth transference when it comes to covenant men or sons and daughters of God. Especially when God establishes it in an eyewitness state. God has no problem transferring the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the just. It's been going on for a long time. There's a prophesied one going to happen in our generation. Big one. Big wealth transference. It's going to happen to the people of God. Now notice this, verse 11. The angel of the Lord got in on this. Genesis 31, verse 11. He said, the angel of God spake unto me a dream, saying, Jacob! And I said, hey, I mean, these guys were having a supernatural encounter. Said, here I am. He said, lift up now thine eyes and see the rams which leap upon the cattle, a ring strength, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. He told him what to do. The angel of the Lord told him, take the ring strength, take the spotted, I'll bless you. It came from a blessing from heaven. Heaven will get involved with your affairs. How much more is heaven going to get involved when you begin bearing witness of the right hand of God and the inheritance? God has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We're going to learn how to get all that down here. Number one way, you can write this down, the inheritance of the right hand of God will be transferred into the earth is by testimony. God is about to shift the way the body of Christ operates. God is going to reestablish testimony, eyewitness testimony. When you bear witness of a thing, it's going to happen. How'd you like the Holy Ghost to stand with you like that? When you decree it, it happens. Holy Ghost don't stand with everybody like that. Now, you can stand in faith in things, but there is an ordination and a commission from heaven. Even the Lord for 30 years didn't do one miracle. Not one. Say not one. Until he was commissioned of the Father. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. See, there is a commissioning that takes place. That's going to happen. God is going to commission his apostles of this generation all over the world. He's going to restore apostolic testimony in the earth. And when he does, we're going to see the signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration. It's going to come by testimony. You're going to have to get used to that. You're going to have to get used to that concept of bearing the testimony. As many of you, I'll say it again, in this place right now are going to see the Lord before his return. You're going to see him. Everybody around the apostolic operations of the new church saw the Lord. The women, the first to see him. You know that. Angel of the Lord confirming that inheritance. Changed his wages 10 times. I want to go to this second appearance. Go over to Genesis 32. Actually, before that, just drop off at chapter 31. One of the things the Lord promised him when he was appeared before him the first time, he said, I'm going to protect you. There is protection that comes when the Lord establishes. He protected Jacob several very powerful ways. One, Laban, when Jacob left, he didn't tell Laban, he just took off. And Laban mounted his whole family up and all his trained servants and went after him. And the Lord came to Laban and said, do not touch him. In a dream, showed up in a dream. Watch what happens here. Genesis 31, verse 22. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob fled. In verse 23, he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 day journey and overtook him in the Mount Gilead. Verse 24, and God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said, take heed what you speak to Jacob, either good or bad. Don't touch him. God will do that for you. That's called divine protection. That's when you don't got no protection, God, that's being God with you. Listen, what we need in the last days is God with us. Well, I'm his son and daughter. I understand all of that. But there is also an operation. God is with you. I mean, you walk out the door and your path is just lit up with the favor of God. Everything you touch has favor upon it. Everything you say, what you decree, where the Lord leads you is favor, 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 favor. Protection and favor. On his way back, he has to confront Esau. God tells him to go back home now. Now he has to go deal with Esau. He don't know if Esau wants to kill him. He doesn't know. Notice the supernatural activity around these men. Old Testament. Look at chapter 32. It's a chapter I want to be in because there's an appearance here in chapter 32. Second appearance of the Lord. First thing I want to share, look at verse 1. Chapter 32, verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now you have to understand, he's on his way to meet Esau, the one that he stole the birthright from, the one he stole the blessing from, the one he fled from. He's got to go back. And God has angels stationed, and he sees them on the way back. Angels. And Jacob went his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. He knew he was in good hands. Listen, when God is establishing witness and testimony, he is going to protect. Say, protect. Told him he'd protect him. Told him I'd bring you back to this land. Told him that. Now he is authorizing heavenly encounters, authorizing open heavens, authorizing angelic operation, angelic visitation all around these men that were carrying the covenant promise in them. We are recipients of the promise. Now we are bearing witness of what already has happened. Hallelujah. Awesome. Now go to verse 24, chapter 32, verse 24. This second time God appears to him. It says it's an angel, but it's not an angel. I'll tell you why it's not an angel. Because look at the last. This is one where he wrestled with him. Y'all remember the story? With the angel of God. A lot of times. Remember when Abraham had the three angels appear to him? We've already found out one of them angels was the Lord. Spent a half afternoon with him. Sent two of them to Sodom. But it was the Lord. Was one of them. Described as an angel, but it was the Lord. Here it says an angel, but watch what he says here. Verse 30, this is right after that struggle, wrestling match with the Lord. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, Peniel, face of God, for I have seen God face to face. Now, let's see what happens. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled, you can just say, with the Lord. Anybody ever wrestled with the Lord? No, you wouldn't wrestle with him face to face. You'd bow down. But Jacob didn't know who he was wrestling with. Until about midway through. And then when he figured it out, he said, you are not leaving me until you bless me. He said he wrestled with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. His hip was thrown out of joint. Sometimes when you wrestle with God, Jacob was a man of a lot of his own sufficiency. And it was time for him to become the man of God wanted. And a lot of time God's going to break that sufficiency. Sometimes when he does, you tend to walk with a limp. It's a spiritual limp. How many of you ever have a spiritual limp? It's a breaking of pride and the breaking of sufficiency and the breaking of our own ways. And sometimes you wrestle too much with God. You don't actually wrestle with him, but you are wrestling with him because he's wanting something. Did God ever come to your life and want something from you? Sometimes you can give him stuff and other things. It just has to be the winnowing fork, the Bible calls it. Anybody been under the winnowing fork? I mean, something, don't you wish everything was easy? I mean, sometimes when you're first born again, half the stuff goes and the other half you got to work out. Sometimes you got to work it out with a winnowing fork. You ever been to a season? That's all he's after. It's just the one thing I said, not this again. Until it's just done, you'll just sit there and go around that same mountain. What happens is you're getting disjointed from your flesh. He wrestled with him all night. See, after the end of that wrestling match, you may walk around with a spiritual limp. That old man might not be there anymore. That old man might have been broken. You're going to come out with a blessing. And he blessed him. That's where he changed his name. Said, no more, you a supplanter. I'm changing your name to Israel. You're a prince with God now. See, that visitation was to change his identity from the old man to the new. He appeared before him and wrestled with him to change his identity. Some of us are being wrestling with heaven. You're not meaning to wrestle with heaven, but you just can't let go of what heaven wants you to let go of. There are certain areas of your flesh that you would love to let go of. They're just deeply inbred. Until he gets it, the blessing of the next level is not going to come to the identity shifts to become a prince with God. To become a prince. How many want to be a prince with God? See, that's the heir stage. That's where you walk around like an heir. That's where you operate like an heir. That whole encounter. That's why Jacob, when he come out of that encounter, he said, I am not letting go. He realized it was the Lord. He said, I'm not letting go. You can displace my hip and I'll walk around with limp, but I am not letting go until you bless me. And he shifted his identity. And that's when Jacob said, man, I am been face to face with God. Man, these guys having encounters with the Lord. Let's look at this third one. We'll go to Genesis chapter 35. He brings him back to, both of these are in Bethel. Genesis 35. Isn't it amazing how the Lord appears to these guys? See, he's been establishing by eyewitness things he's doing in the earth for a very long time. Do you know he's reestablishing the book of Revelation? Multiplied. Hallelujah. Chapter 35, verse 9. And God appeared, Genesis 35, verse 9, unto Jacob again. Man, I'd like to just have the first three letters. And God appeared unto me. God appeared unto Jacob again. God appeared to Enrique again. Again means he already done it. But God, many times in making his appearance, he's going to do it more than once because he's establishing testimony. It's not about your belief system with him. It's about your testimony to the world. What it is you're bearing witness of, I'll tell you exactly what we're bearing witness of. The right hand of God. It is our identity. It's our ministry. We've already been broken into that identity. In fact, it wasn't until I was broken that God didn't even open that up. Many times we have to move into an arena of brokenness before God will open up who you truly are and what you're called to do. Amen? Our identity is the bare testimony of the right hand of God, Christ's inheritance, and all that's there. And he's going to make his appearance. I know that he is. Hallelujah. Do I need to believe to see? No, we already believe. We don't have to see him to believe. That's not about you and me and God. It's about my testimony, our testimony to the world. You can write this down. He'll appear more than once most of the time. He appeared to Paul four times, and he'll appear to more than one person.
under apostolic government. It's corporate eyewitness. He's going to appear to many. It's part of him establishing his foundation of testimony. I believe because there's so many apostolic networks in the world, he's going to appear to many of the apostolic networks all over the world, because he's not dealing with one like he was in the book of Acts. This is going to get restored. Persecution, affliction, I don't care. It's going to get restored. Apostolic testimony will be restored, and we're going to see the demonstration follow it. Hallelujah. We'll close with this. Genesis 35, verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob again. God, I can't wait to say that. Oh, he appeared again. And God appeared unto Jacob again. He came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And blessed him. And God said to him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore. Now, this is the second time he appears to him. The first time is in that wrestling match, and he tells him, you're going to be Israel. But now he's telling him, you are Israel now. There he basically, in the eyewitness, pronounced the shift of his identity. In this one, he is now solidifying his identity. It's no longer Jacob. You're a new man, Jacob. And I'm appeared to you because I'm now going to change your name in a nation of Israel is going to come out of your loins. See, God established the nation of Israel with an eyewitness testimony. That'll preach. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. You're now a prince with God, and I'm bringing a nation out of you now. And it will be called Israel. To this day, it's called Israel. Not to mention, their two wives and the two concubines had a competition among themselves of how many kids they could have. They did. That's how he got 12 sons. You know that, don't you? Rachel, Leah bore, and Rachel didn't like it. So Rachel sends her. Rachel's womb was closed, so she sends her handmaiden in there. And then Leah didn't like that, so she sends her handmaiden in there. And then Rachel comes to Jacob and said, look, everybody's birthing but me. He comes to my God, what's wrong with you? Then God gives her Joseph. That's why he loved Joseph so much, because it came from the wife he loved. Rachel, then Benjamin. And God said, verse 10, thy name is Jacob, for thy name will be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and you called his name Israel. Instead of, I am the God Almighty, be fruitful, Israel. God is speaking to his loins through an eyewitness. He says, be fruitful. He's speaking right into his loins. Multiply, Israel. A nation and a company of nations and kings will come out of your loins. You see what he's doing in the eyewitness? He's establishing the entire nation in an eyewitness speaking directly into his loins. Man, that's powerful. Validating. You are the lineage of Abraham. Out of your loins, I'm going to bring a nation. And this day, they're called Israel. He shifted Jacob from being a supplanter and a deceiver into a prince with God. We all have hope. God doesn't take perfect people. He takes imperfection. He makes us perfect along the way. I am the Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Kings are going to come out of your loin. And the land, and he mentions the land, it's always about the seed and the land, the seed and the land. The seed of your loins and the land. Thy land I will give it. Thy seed after thee I will give it. That's why the devil wants that land, because God gave it to them. Devil can have all the land all around it, but that, he don't want all that land. And I mean, you ever thought about Israel? I'm going to close with this. It's just a little piece of land. All the other nations all around it have everything. Well, they don't want all that. They want that little piece right there. They want to fight over every inch of it because it was God giving it by covenant. That's why the devil hates them to this day, because they brought forth Christ, the seed of the woman. And God went up from him in that place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar where God talked with him. Three eyewitness appearances to establish his lineage shifted his identity, changed his identity, made him the head of the nation to this day they call it Israel. God established that. They call that nation Israel. God established that in an eyewitness state. Spoke that to him. God is faithful. Amen. God's going to validate the right hand of God in the last days. The right hand of God is going to be powerful. The Bible says, thy right hand doeth valiantly.